We have several things I'm going to mention. We're bringing Christ now to the earth. He is no longer the he's not holding the office of the Creator as he did before, but now he is in the world. Now you'd say, well, if he made all things, he greater than the Father? No. Jesus said, the Father's greater than I am, but God made all things through his Son. He gave his Son power. His Son didn't have the power independent of the Father. Jesus said, the Father gave it to me. It came from the Father. My Father is greater than I. Let's get that straight. But the Son, he said that he made the man of his right hand strong for himself. 87th Psalm. He called him the man of his right hand. Now we know who the man of his right hand is. The man of his right hand is Jesus Christ. So what we want to find out more and more about him. Now, there's a couple of scriptures that I want to quote first, and then we'll go from there. When Jesus came into the world, you might think that God would have chose some greater way for him to come in, to have some great big committee, some of the big dignitaries, to announce his arrival some way. But he came in through the route of a woman and was born in a stable and was laid in a manger and was raised of parents that had no notoriety. They were raised up as poor people in Nazareth. He went about as the carpenter's son, and that's the way they labeled him. Is not this the carpenter's son? But all this was in God's divine plan, because God foretold that's the way he would come into the world. As a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. When you see him, there's no beauty that you should desire him. He is despised and he is rejected of men. He's a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Now, Jesus fulfilled all those requirements. When Christ came in the world at the age of 12, I want you to listen to this. He went up to the temple. And while they were up at the temple, when he was at the age of 12, he began to talk to the lawyers and the doctors. Now, the lawyers are not lawyers as we refer to lawyers today. The lawyers in those days were men that dedicated their time, just like we have law men today that go to college and study law, so they can interpret the law for you. And in those days, Israel had the law they went by. The law was given by Moses. And the lawyers were those who had dedicated themselves to the law of God and to study the law and to interpret the law. They were called lawyers. So we find that he was questioning the lawyers, and they were questioning him, and asking questions, and he was answering. He was asking them questions, and they were answering. And you know the story, how that he stayed there, and his mother left and went a day's journey without him. Then they took 3 days to find him. When they found him, they said, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Why have you done this? And Jesus answered and said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? In short, he said, don't you know I've got a work to do? And don't you know that I am concerned about my Father's business? Now, when Jesus finished his work here on earth, which was 33 years, when he finished his work, he knelt and prayed in the 17th chapter of the book of St. John. And he May we read it? I believe it'd be good if we could just turn to that and read it, found here in the book of St. John. There we are. The 17th chapter, beginning at the first verse. All right. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, said, Father, thy hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that thou shouldest give that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The third verse. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That the world might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This magnifies the beauty of the doctrine of the Trinity. He didn't say, I came of myself. He sent, my Father sent me. And he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. Not myself. I've glorified thee. And he says here, that they may know thee, the only true God, meaning that the world was filled with gods, had all kind of gods. Every little old community had a god. And they would fight by their god and give God, their god, the glory if they won. They had hundreds and hundreds of gods. The Philistines didn't have the god of the Moabites or someone else over there. Each one, they had various gods. Some would serve the gods of heaven, and they would have idols. And we know one, they had Dagon, and they that was their god. And they brought the ark, and I made a mistake by putting the ark in collection of their gods. And so Dagon fell on his face. And so, oh, they was excited to come in, lifted their god up. Next day, he knocked down again. God wouldn't let him set up there. So the next day, they put it up, and he fell, broke his head off. So they said, well, God's got his head knocked off. So they wanted to get rid of the ark because that's true God. So Christ said, I come to settle the question that there are no other gods, that thou art the only true God. Now, let's go just a little bit further in the 17th chapter. It says, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, fourth verse. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have finished the work that thou givest me to do. Now, it wasn't a work for everybody to do. It was a work that only he himself could accomplish. He said, I came into the world to do a work. I came into the world because it was in God's divine plan before the world was ever even formed or made. That's way, way, way back there, before the foundation of the world. But when I left glory and came to the earth, it was for a purpose. I had a list of things I must accomplish. If I was the king of a great country, and they had discovered a country somewhere out in the islands of the sea, and they found a group of people there, but my invasion force took it over, and if I sent my son out there to set up a bunch of order, a bunch of rules, a bunch of government, a bunch of orders and customs and laws by which they must be governed by, things that they should do and things they should not do, and I would give him a list of them to send him there to accomplish my will on this territory that we had taken in. That is exactly the picture that we have. And while Christ was on earth, he gave a little miniature of it. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. He said, let me tell you what it's like. It's likened to a man, that merchantman, that decided to go into a far country and purchase a kingdom. And he left, and he went into a far country, and he purchased a kingdom for himself. He was the king of it. and it belonged to him. And then after he purchased the kingdom, he put it over in the hands of his servants and called his servants to him and said, "Here, I want you to take this and occupy till I come. Take this and take this." And he delivered unto them talents and gave them instructions and then went away to where he'd come from. And then he said, "I'm going to come back later and I'm going to reckon with you." And it said after a long while, he came back to the kingdom and see how it was thriving, doing wonderful. It had really multiplied and replenished and all. So he calls his servants to him, and he one by one says to him, "Well, I delivered you 5 talents. Yes, I've gained 5 more beside it. Got 10 now. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He called others. "How much they give you?" "Yeah, I've doubled it." "Good." He called one, you know, and he buried it. Didn't do nothing with it. Said, "Cast him out. Don't have no place for him. He's a servant, but an unprofitable servant." Now, that's the kingdom. That's the way it's going to be. Jesus left and he came and purchased the kingdom. How many believe he did it? He purchased the kingdom. Now, we'll first deal with it just a little bit. How many believe if you're sitting here this morning, Christian, you're a member of the kingdom of God? Now, the kingdom is not going to be brought into power. It is already in full power, and it has been ever since Christ arrived on the scene and purchased us with his own blood. He purchased the kingdom of God, and when Christ was here, he said, "You go and preach the kingdom of God. Don't preach the law or nothing about that. You preach the kingdom of God, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. And tell them to be baptized for remission of sin." It's entirely a brand new program. He was doing a job that God told him to do. The first thing he did was establish a kingdom. Now he said, "You don't have it, but I'm going to give you power. From here on, you say, devil, come out." They will come out, not because of your merit, but because I have deputized you. When you say, "Come out," devils will come out. So they went out and found people with devils in them and said, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And they came out just like that. And it still works that way. Jesus said, "I'm going to heaven, but these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." How many believe it still works? Now, Daniel, way back, many, many hundreds of years before Christ, Daniel said that, "I looked and beheld till the saints of God possessed the kingdom." Now he said, there's going to be 4 great kingdoms arise out of the world. Daniel said so. And it'll be the Babylon kingdom, which is now in power. Then it'll be Medes and Persians, the Grecian, the Roman Empire. Now he said there'll not be 5 or 6 or just 3, there'll be 4. And he said, "I see these great 4 kingdoms in the shape of a man." I'm talking about Christ and his accomplishments. He's got a list. And he was check them out before he, and he, when he got ready to go back to heaven, he said, "Father, I checked every one of them, and I finished the work which thou hast given me to do." Now, what were those things, though? Number one, he must establish a kingdom on earth. It must be a kingdom by Christ. So, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom." And that's exactly what Brother Hibbs is preaching this morning, the gospel of the kingdom. So, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, God foretelling him as a prophet what would happen, he said, "In the days of the 4th kingdom, Babylon, Medes and Persia, Grecian, Roman Empire, 10 kingdom, federated kingdom, which is the Roman Empire." That's the 4th one. "Beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly." Now, Daniel said, "In the day of the 4th king, Roman Empire," the 10 toes represent 10 kingdoms. You see? Now, he said, "In the days of the 10 kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall be an everlasting kingdom. It shall not be left to another people. No, nor ever, but it will endure forever and forever. Now, if that statement is true that God gave to Daniel straight from his mouth, it's here today. Now, let me ask you, what great kingdom was established and brought into existence that is still in power, going forth with great glory today that was established then? No other kingdom but the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, what king was it that gave the commission to come and be taxed? It was Augustus Caesar. What was he a member of? A Caesar of Rome. That involved 10 federated kingdoms of the Roman Empire. So under what king? Jesus did not come under Babylon kingdom. Neither Medes and Persian. Neither Grecian. Read your history. He came under the reign of the Roman Empire. It was the Roman Empire in power while he lived and while he was crucified. There were Roman soldiers standing by his side. It was Roman soldiers that led him out to be crucified. It was Pilate, an agent of the Roman Empire, that gave his sentence to be crucified. Now, Daniel said, wait a minute, I got another one for you. That's number one. But let me give you another. He said, I saw a great image. Great image. And he said, and you know, this takes a cake. You know, when God wants to be sure that you've got the right interpretation of a thing, he's smart enough to know how to do it. I want to show you something that you ought to rejoice about, that you're a part of. You're sitting here, a member of a certain kingdom, and they could destroy God as quick as they could destroy it. Because, brother, I'm going to tell you, when they touch anything that belongs to the kingdom of God, brother, they've got God to deal with. Am I telling the truth? Somebody said, I'm afraid the devil's going to get me. Brother, I'm going to tell you, you're the last one he's going to put his hand on. It's not because he's afraid of you. He is afraid of who the papa is of this law that was set up, and I'm a member of it. Brother, you may not be afraid of my little girl that plays in the next door neighbor's yard. And the man may come out and want to bust her up. And he could really do it. But he doesn't touch her because there's a dad over there with blood in his eyes just waiting for him to put his hands on that child. Now that's exactly what God has declared for us. He said, don't fear he that's in the world, because he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. So here's what he said. Daniel said, there are, by the way, he gave this parable of this dream, not parable, he interpreted the dream. And you know the story, but let me give it to you just briefly, real quick. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, he laid down and was on his bed. And while he's laying there, God permitted him to begin to think about the future, what was going to happen down the years to come. What's going to happen 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 400 years from now? What's going to happen? And the king was laying there thinking, what will happen in the future? And he went to sleep, had a dream. And here's the dream he had. He had a dream and he saw a great big man, way high, had great big shoulders. And he looked up there, and this great statue, it had a head of gold. And it had shoulders and two arms of silver. And it had its thighs here, all of its thighs, of brass. And it had the two legs of iron, and the toes, iron and clay mixed. And so he was looking at this thing, this great statue, and all at once he saw a stone coming from heaven. A big old stone coming from heaven. And it whirled down through space, and it struck the great image at the feet, right down at the feet, not at the head. It didn't strike at the Babylon kingdom because it struck the feet. And as it struck the feet, it began to crash and the whole image began to fall and crumble and go to pieces. And it said, I looked and I saw the whole image crash and just go into powder, and the whole thing was a bunch of rubble. And I stood, the king said, I looked and I saw something coming out of the rubble, and it was that stone that come through the heavens. And it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I backed up and got bigger and bigger and bigger. Filled the whole county, the whole state, the whole country. And said, finally, I looked in my dream. I got off further and further. And that stone got so big, it filled the whole earth. And I was amazed in my dream, thinking, this thing that came from heaven and struck the image at the feet, and it got so big, it's filled the whole earth. And when Diddy woke up, and he thought, oh, I had a dream. Whew, I had a dream. What was that dream I had? And it went from him. Had he thought about what it was, he'd have pushed the button and got his magicians full of the devil. They'd have come in and give him some kind of a little old interpretation. Bragged on him a little bit. And nobody had ever known real the truth of it. He pushed the buttons and said, bring my magicians, bring my fortune tellers, bring my dream interpreters here. And all these men began to come around him. And he said, men, he said, I've had a dream. Oh, he said, I've had a dream. I want you to tell me the dream I've had. I'm telling you about what Christ. Now, we're talking about Jesus. If it's involving your Savior, how many is enjoying this? All right, now let me tell you, this is something that will do you good. You can tell your kids about it. And to show you the authentic. Somebody, how do you know there's a Christ? Oh, brother, there's every way in the world that you can breathe securely and know that Jesus Christ is who God says he is. So he said to the king, King, we're ready now to give you the interpretation. And the king said, just a minute. I want you to tell me what I dreamed and then give me the interpretation of it. He said, because it's gone from me. It's gone from you? Yeah. You don't know what you dreamed? Well, are you sure you dream? Oh, I dreamed something, and I know it's some outstanding something. But I want you to tell me what I dreamed, and then if you tell me, it's gone from me. I can't think of a thing about it. How many believe God can lock your mind and take it away? That's exactly what he did. So finally, he's become furious. He said, I want you to tell me what dream. He said, we can't. He said, that's never been requested or required of any magician on earth. No king potentate our ruler has ever required any of us to tell him a dream they don't know anything about. Well, if you have supernatural power to tell the thing and to reveal it, then you ought to know what I dreamed. Well, it'll take a man who's got a spirit of a God that dwells not among the flesh. It'll take one with the spirit of God in him to do that. We don't have that. They didn't think anybody did. And the king said, okay, if you can't tell me, you've just got about 24 hours and I'm going to kill every one of you. I'll have every one of you court-martialed and killed if you don't tell me. So it's just up to you. If you can't think of what I've dreamed and give me the interpretation, your heads go off. You're going to be beheaded. So they got the message around and they said, Daniel, you're one of the fellows. They didn't call you up. But after all, you're among us and you are in the cabinet and it might involve you too. And they told him about it, and Daniel went up to the king and said, say, king, if you don't mind, give us just a little time on this and don't be so hasty, and I think I can come up with the dream and the answer. You think that you can give me the dream? Just a little time, I can. You dreamed it, didn't you? He said, yeah, well, I'm going to let the God that dwells not among flesh, I'm going to let him give me the same dream and give me the interpretation of it, king. Well, he said, if you can do that, well, okay, I'll hold her up a little bit. So Daniel went on over to the boys, knocked on the door and opened up, said, hi, Shad. And there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they got in. And the three boys, they all got together and said, Daniel said, boys, I'll tell you, the whole bunch of us are going to have it if the king don't get his wish. He had a dream. I don't know what he dreamed, but he said he had a dream. And if we don't tell the king the dream, we've had it. But the God of heaven has been thoughtful. We don't need to worry, because if that king had thought of the dream, Those magicians, you know how they lie anyway. They're full of the devil. They don't have God with them. Now, it may be that God's trying to get something, so those people down at the gospel... No, well, he didn't say gospel lighthouse, but that's what he meant. That on down in the way of the end time, they'll know that God rules in the heavens and knows exactly who's going to come up and when and how and all about it. So it said, let's join hands and pray. So they all prayed. You said, how do you know? Because the book in Daniel said it did. Said they all joined together and they had a prayer meeting. Now, Lord, let Daniel go to sleep and let him dream. Amen. So he laid down. All at once, here it come. Daniel had a dream. Began to see a great stature. Went through the same thing. When he got through, the angel of God appeared to Daniel and said, now, Daniel, here's the interpretation of it. I'll give you the interpretation. And gave Daniel the interpretation. Daniel woke up. Praise God. Said, come on, Chad. Let's get ready to go. Meshach and Abednego said, I'm going to the king. Went over there, knocked the door, said, old king, live forever. Said, have a good long life. Said, sit down, king. Said, I'm going to talk to you. Have you got it? Did you get my dream? Lord said, king, live forever. Said, now, king, I want you to know before start, it's not because of any greatness of mine, not because of any super wisdom. It is because God has made the king to know what's going to be in the future. By the way, king, before you went to bed last night, isn't it true that you was laying there thinking about the future, who was going to be in power and how long you'd be in power and maybe who would be after you? Wasn't that what you was laying there? Yes! Boy, that's right, Daniel. You're right. I was laying there, and that's what I was thinking. I was thinking about, I wonder who's going to be after me. I wonder who's going to come in the future. I wonder what great kingdom is going to rise. And said, that's what it was. Now, he said, you went to sleep after that. And while you was asleep, you had a dream of a great big stature. It was way high. That's right, Daniel. You got it. It was a stature. Yes, I remember that. Now, king, the head was gold. Yes, I remember that. Now, what's that? Wait a minute, king. Let me tell you. Then I'll give you the interpretation. Now, the shoulders and the arms were silver. Yeah. You're right. It was silver. I remember. And if you'll notice the hips and the thigh, they were of brass. Oh, yes. I remember that, Daniel. And the legs were iron and the toes were iron and clay mixed. Yes. I remember that. It all comes clear now. Oh, yes, and there was something else there. Yes, there was a stone. Oh, yeah, that's it. That stone that came out of the heavens. You know, it said that Jesus said they're going to reject the chief cornerstone. And how many believe that he was the chief cornerstone that came from heaven? So Daniel said, king, that stone came down and it hit the image at the feet. Yeah, that's it. Hit it at the feet. And said, I remember now, it all crashed. Daniel said, let me tell it. It all crashed and the rubble was there. And then you saw coming up out of that rubble something else moving it all out. And it was all coming. And you saw that big old stone coming up. Kind of like light bread rising, you know, when you put yeast in it. And said the thing got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Yes, bigger, bigger, bigger. Oh, yes, it's coming now. It's got bigger. And it filled the whole world. And the whole world was filled with that stone. Yeah. Now, Daniel. Boy, everything. It's exactly like I got it in my dream. All right. Here's the interpretation. King, thou art the head of gold. And as silver is inferior to gold, silver is not as valuable as gold, the kingdom that will be after you will not be as rich as your kingdom, as silver is not as rich as gold. But as you saw the two arms, it will be not one, it will be a joining of two, which will be the Medes and the Persians. And that's the right arm and the left arm. That's the two arms. After thee, when you finish, it'll be the Medes and Persians. By the way, When Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom crumbled, who was it done the crumbling? The Medes and Persians. And when God weighed him up and said, your kingdom is finished, I've given it to another people. And before the sunrise, God said, you have finished your kingdom, and I've weighed it up. You'll not enjoy another day in your kingdom. And he didn't even know he had a threat. And while God was giving him that information, the Medes and Persians came in and took over and become the head world power. And they passed out. So it was exactly as he said. Now he said, the third was the brass. As brass is inferior to silver, the third kingdom will still be inferior to the second, the one above, which is Medes and Persians. So, as silver is not as rich as gold, as brass is not as rich as silver, the third kingdom will be very strong, and it'll be a powerful kingdom, but it will not be so rich. And that is the Grecian kingdom under Alexander the Great. But now, after the third kingdom will come the fourth kingdom, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly with great iron teeth. And this iron, as iron is strong and powerful, it's going to be a powerful kingdom. And as you saw, the ten toes, it will be a federation of ten toes. The kingdom will be divided between the Eastern and the Western division. Any history book in the world will tell you that Rome was divided between the Eastern and the Western. They were a division of the Roman Empire, and the one was called the Eastern wing, and the other the Western wing. So as the Roman Empire had its division, the two legs represented the two divisions, and the ten toes represented the ten federated kingdoms that came into the Roman Empire, and the ten federated kingdoms made up the Roman Empire, which history tells exactly what happened. Everyone here has heard it ever since you first went to school, the ten kingdom Roman Empire. All right. So it was during the Roman Empire that the God of heaven told Daniel, I'm going to send my Messiah. He's going to come to be a Savior, only this is the way he put it. He's going to come as a stone, and he's going to strike the image of the feet, and it'll all be destroyed, and that image shall grow. Now, what's the stone? I've given you all, I've earmarked the head and the shoulders and the belly and the thigh, which is brass, and the ten federated kingdoms, which is the Roman Empire. Now, I'll tell you what the stone is. In the days of the ten kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. God's going to set up a kingdom. Now, let's go just a minute back further. Let's go back to David. David's in his house, and Nathan comes in. Nathan said, how you feeling? David said, fine. He said, I'm thinking. I have a desire. You know what I want to do? I want to build a house for God. And, Nathan said, go ahead. Whatever's in your heart, do it, David. Do it. That's fine. Build a house for God. And they had a good fellowship and shook hands, and Nathan went home. When he got home, God said, Nathan, yeah. Who's speaking? God, I'm speaking to you. Oh, yeah. God, what is it? You just been to see David? Yep. You told David to build me a house? Yep. He's a man of blood. He's a man that's done war. I'm not going to let him build me a house. I got a message. I want you to carry back over David. Wake him up. Get him out of bed. Tell him what I said. Yes, sir. What is it? Here's what I want you to tell David. Okay. Told him. Went on over the house. Knocked at the door. David came to the door. Nathan! Yeah! What can I do, son, to help? Come on in. David, I'm sorry. I went home a while ago, and God spoke to him and told me to come back and tell you that I made a mistake, that I told you to build a house for him, but he said for you not to do it. said, just prepare the stuff for your son to do it, because you're a man of blood. He has anointed you to destroy the nations around about, and you've been a man of blood, and therefore you will not be able to build a house. But there shall come a seed out of your loins. There is a seed. How many believe that they said that Christ was the seed of David? And if there's one thing that throughout all the New Testament, it said he took upon him the form of a servant and was made of the seed of David. Meaning this, that through the lineage of David, all the way through, Christ must come into the world through the lineage of David. He had only one father, and that was God the Father, but he had the mother, the earthly mother, which married in their tribes. So it was of the tribe of David, and David, the seed of David. So he's called a branch shall grow out of Jesse, and a root out of David. A root shall come out of David. So God said to Nathan, tell him that in his loins is a seed, and through that seed will I raise up a son that will build me a house, and of his kingdom shall there be no end. It shall be an everlasting kingdom. In 2 Samuel, it tells you this. It says it shall be an everlasting kingdom which shall not be left to another people, but it will endure forever. Did Solomon establish that kingdom? The answer is, of course not. It must be established in the days of the Roman Empire. But Christ come as the seed of David. He was God's son. He was the stone. And he did fill the earth. It's filled today all over Dallas, all over Texas, all over America, every island of the sea, every nation in the world. They're going forth with the banner. And how many kingdoms have come up and become worldwide since then? None. There will be one coming up, the Antichrist, right ahead. But since that time the Roman Empire fell, how many worldwide kingdoms have we had? We have had none. That was the end of that. But in the end time there will come up another kingdom. But Christ is going to finish his work in the church. And then he's taken up, and then he shall come back down while that other kingdom is in full power, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So here we have it. We have it in two different ways that he has told him that Jesus Christ is to arrive on the earth during the Roman Empire. Now, God let him get this dream so it'd be foolproof. And he said that it'll happen just like he said. So, let me turn here. Remember this, one of his jobs was to establish the kingdom of God. In Hebrews, the first chapter, let me read just a few verses about Jesus here. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past on the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God speaks unto us by his Son. Whom God hath appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Through Jesus Christ, all things were made by him. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, that means there is nothing but what he upholds. Did you know a clock couldn't tick? And a centipede couldn't take another step if Jesus Christ didn't uphold all things by the word of his power. Do you know that if Jesus Christ withdrew his power, every human being here right now would blank out the second it happened, and you would know nothing. This building would start whirling right through space. Every human being would start whirling right out into space. And You can imagine if you put a little, try to glue something on the end of a bucket and not put it on there very tight, and you take that bucket in your hand and you start whirling it around, what's it going to do? It's going to fall off and fall out from the bucket. This earth is turning 1,000 miles an hour. Not 100 miles an hour. Not 200 miles. You know, you ever go 300 miles an hour? That's fast. You stick your hand out, you haven't got one. Because, brother, it's whacked off. I mean, that wind would hit that thing. But 1,000 miles an hour, that's where we're traveling right now while I'm talking to you. We're traveling 1,000 miles an hour. And if it wasn't for God, this world would sling us into space. But because God has it under control, you can balance a broomstick on its end, if on the square end of it, on a when it's not blowing, you know, wind's not blowing, and it'll sit right there. You can just take a piece of paper and let it drop, and it'll just float back and forth and back and forth, and you're going 1,000 miles an hour. Brother, God has this thing so controlled with gravitation, the law of gravitation, and the law of relativity, and all the laws that He set up to govern things. The moon knows exactly which side to show its face. It knows how to have the new moon in season. It knows how to, the sun knows how to come up and go down, and it's the earth turning around. Everything is majestically moving. Your heartbeat is going thump, thump. Thump, 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 thump. And you say, wait a minute, how long has that been doing that? Some people say, well, that's been doing that for 40 years. Some say 50 years. 50 years, that thing going thump, 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 thump. And think of how many barrels of blood you pour through your heart. And if it wasn't for God holding the heartstrings of your heart, you would die in a moment's time. How the nerve system functions in our body. Think of the majestic. And here it says, He upholds all things by the word of His power. Notice, now who was the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. Express image of His person. You say, well, now that's the express image of whose person? Right here, the Bible says so. Paul said He's the express image of God. You say, what kind? What does God look like? Tells you. God looks exactly like Jesus Christ. Well, what does Jesus look like? Well, God never has changed. He's always been the same. When He made His Son, it was His Son, because no other man had anything to do with it. Christ was conceived by Jehovah. The power of the highest, which is Jehovah, came upon Mary. And the seed was placed in her womb by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what the Bible says? And it contacted the woman's seed through the lineage of David. And it's true that a baby boy came in who was the chief cornerstone. And during that child's life, there was a kingdom set up. And I got into it at the age of 19. Been in it ever since. How many are glad that we're in something secure, sure, steadfast, when the world looks like it's coming apart? Brother, we are a member not only of the church of Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But He said, I will set up a what? It said a holy nation. A holy nation. A nation of people. A nation, the word holy means that which God belongs to God. There are people all over the earth that belongs to God. They're called a holy nation. I am a citizen of the United States. But first of all, I have loyalty to the nation I belong to, which is the holy nation. Peter said we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Royal priesthood and a peculiar people. But how many are glad that He was to establish a kingdom and He did do it? He was to establish the church and He didn't do it. He must take care of sin, and His name should be called Jesus, for He'll save His people from their sin. Oh, I haven't even got into the redeeming. What He redeemed us from. Let me go a little bit further. Jesus Christ is the what? Everybody believe what God said, say amen. He's the what? What does Jesus look like? He looks like the Father. He's the express image of His person. Now, when God the Father sat on the throne in Revelation 5, it said God sat there with a book in His right hand. and said, he that sat on the throne had the likeness of a man. You know what Jesus looks like? He's called the Son of Man, and he has the likeness of a man. And when they saw Jesus here on earth, they said, Lord, show us the Father. John 14. I want you to listen. Now, some people take this and make an error out of it. They said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you and haven't known me? He said, if you'd known me, you'd known the Father. And henceforth, said, you've known him and you've seen him. When you see me, you see the Father. Did it mean he was his Father? He never did say it's his Father. He said, my Father's up in heaven. He just said, I'm the express image of his person, because that's exactly what God said. He was the what? Express image of his person. You take two black-eyed peas and you say, all right, now turn your head, and you take the black-eyed peas and change. So now, which is which? They tell. Those black-eyed peas are exactly alike. You know what God said in his word? He said Jesus Christ and God the Father like two black-eyed peas. You said didn't say black-eyed peas. Well, it said the same as it. Now, what is two black-eyed peas? Express image. Express image of his. Now, Christ is the express image of his person. And that's the reason why I said, when you see me, you see the Father, because I look exactly like my Father. And so here, now notice right here, I'll read the next one here. It said, when he by his own self purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, in that he has obtained an inheritance more excellent than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. God says in the Old Testament, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. Now, here Paul is explaining Jesus Christ is as the Son of God and the relations with his Father. And again, when he bringeth the firstborn into the world, he saith, and all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. The eighth verse. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of thy kingdom. Now, what did God say? And unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever a scepter. Is Jesus Christ a God as much as God the Father's God? Thought it not robbery to be equal with him. But Jesus never has been the Father. The Father's never been the Son. But it does say that Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Ghost is God. The Father is God. And they all operate not as three gods, but as one God. You can't fall out at one and make up with another. Because it said our God is one God. And the next part of that verse said, and there is one God, O-N-E, one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Is Christ God? He's surely God. Who is the one God? The one God, it said there's one God in heaven. And it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the three are one. He didn't say the one is three. He said the three are one. There is a Father, there is a Son, there is a Holy Ghost, and the three are one. Now, as I've told you before, he said that one is like husband and wife. They're not two. He said they're one. Yet, you say this too. Yeah, but they're one. How? Like God the Father.